Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Recording like that?
I did not, but I just did. All right, welcome to the Infamous Podcast, episode 41, Free Comic Book Wars, or How Game of Thrones Melted My Eyes. Hey, Johnny, what's going on?
Not much. What's going on?
41 episodes down.
For you, remember
this. To go.
How many for me? Are you keeping count? How many of those for me?
I think you've been on since like episode 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's a long time. I quit.
You quit.
I quit again this week.
Every week.
Every week.
Is that your new shtick?
I think so.
Johnny the Quitter. I'm Johnny and I quit.
I quit today.
So, nice.
At least I'm not Johnny the Homicidal Maniac or Johnny Monster. Those are comic book
names. You absolutely could be a homicidal maniac.
Well, you know.
The people at home don't know. All right. So, before we get started with anything, did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did.
And I did as well. And
otherwise, that wouldn't be the title.
Well, you know, I have threatened to spoil Game of Thrones for you on several occasions. So
I think the whole internet spoiled that this week.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm glad I just, since HBO was on free, that I just went, yeah, we'll go ahead and watch it.
Cool.
More wanting to know, is Jon Snow dead?
Is he?
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
He looked like he was breathing when he was laying on the snow.
Well,
Jon Snow laying on snow.
And the Onion Knight was very concerned about where his blood was going for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, so it was interesting. I will say this. The How Game of Thrones Melted My Eyes was watching Melisandre melt literally before my eyes from a beautiful, amazing goddess of a woman.
Was that her?
Yeah, that's her. So she's centuries old, right?
Right. No, and, I mean, was so, that Caprice?
I think it was. I really do. I think it was the makeup. Yeah, I think that's her name. But I think they did like the makeup and everything because in the face it looks
awesome
much.
Makeup. Thing.
Now, I'll say this, though. They have done some amazing things with CG on the show. Like last season when Cersei had the shame walk. There was another actress that was Cersei from the neck down, and then it was Lena Headey from the shoulders up.
I don't think they did a behind the scenes of that scene on the box set. I haven't watched everything on it yet.
Right.
But I wonder if they had her do that entire walk with like a blue suit on.
I imagine.
And then had the other girl walk with a blue mask on. It got all S&M on the Game of Thrones set.
I was about to say, how sexy is that? To watch a girl walk down with the green, like, you know.
Well, just imagine all the people that had to pretty much do their scene twice.
Well, yeah, either that or they just
cut her in.
They just, yeah.
And what was wrong with Lena Headey?
She just didn't want to do it. Fair enough.
Drive up to Detroit and find out in this month.
But yeah, so anyway, I thought it was a good episode. Are you going to continue to watch? Are you going to get the HBO Now or Go?
I don't know.
I told you to just call HBO and
call DirecTV.
Yeah, have your girl call because it's under her name and everything, and be like, hey, we're gonna cut the cable and we're just gonna
see. Now you're giving it away, so
nobody from HBO is listening to this.
I can't wait for the message that goes, yes, I am. Sorry, I'm looking up the actress's name right now.
Anywho, but so all right, so this week we are going to talk about X-Men Apocalypse in the trailer, which I wasn't gonna watch, but then there was a whole to-do about it, so I watched it, and then I didn't really understand the to-do.
It was much ado about nothing.
Absolutely. We are going to talk about Free Comic Book Day, because we actually got some advanced issues. And we are going to be working that day at our LCS. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Caprice Van Houten.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
She's sexy. Dead sexy. And then we're going to go over, because we're a week out from Captain America Civil War. We are going to talk about the Civil War comic by Mark Millar and Steve McNiven.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was actually a really big fan of.
I thought it was a good story.
I know there are people out there who are like don't like love it, and
there's
like, you know.
There's parts of it that I say that there's parts of it that I didn't like, but there's parts of it I did like too. So
So, but I did definitely enjoy it. So there is
like
that
all the damn tie-ins.
Well, and I read it after the fact because
yeah.
What year was this? It was I don't even know. Oh, 2009.
Yeah,
and I was not getting a lot of Marvel at that time.
Right.
So, I think that was the same time that the Lantern Wars and stuff were going on at DC.
That sounds about
and
right.
So yeah. My comic budget was dedicated to all the Green Lantern tie-ins and things like that.
Yeah, the Black Lantern story.
Yep. So, anyway, all right. So, kicking off. Well. First off, what did you think about Game of Thrones? Just
like the whole episode. On a whole, it was one of the better opening episodes.
So with the show, it's typically been the first episode is a prologue,
yeah,
like in a book, and the last episode is typically an epilogue.
And this one felt like it was right off of the last one.
And I don't know if I told you this because you haven't really watched in real time, but I've had conversations with people about the season 5 finale.
Yeah.
It did not feel like an epilogue.
No.
It was a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
With Marcella
dying. I mean,
dying
we watched, we watched the whole season in 2 days.
Yeah. So, and so it was natural for them to pick up. They have now diverted greatly from the books.
Okay.
The master plan to get a Targaryen back on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe this will ever be a part of the TV series.
Okay.
So Prince Doran was involved with other people. He had sent a son to Meereen to marry Daenerys.
Oh, okay.
And to like kind of combine the houses and legitimize her in Westeros.
Right.
That son ended up trying to free the dragons to show how brave and strong he was and died via, hellfire.
Yeah.
So there's that. Doran Martell was alive at the end of the fifth book, or at the end of the sixth book, or fifth book, sorry. What Illyria Sand and the Sand Snakes did to him was great. It came from out of nowhere. I love all four of those women.
Yeah.
I thought in the last few episodes of season 5, they were amazing additions to the cast.
Well, it's just funny because of like some of them I've seen in other things. The mother was on Illyria. Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So she like
she was Susie.
Yeah.
Kept getting killed.
Yep. Yep. And then the one sister that I forget what her name is. She's the one that was on the boat with
right.
and stabs him from behind.
Yeah, she's in
she
Star
was
Wars,
in Star Wars and a few other things.
Yeah.
She played Mary in a nativity story.
Okay.
So it's like and then she became Mary because she got pregnant like,
yeah.
at a very young age.
Okay.
But well, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I do like that those they don't like each other.
No. And they don't in the books. Like, you know, they're very in the books they're very loyal to Oberyn.
Well, yeah.
Which they still very much are. And, you know, it was interesting to see Prince Doran talking about, you know, how Oberyn was not a great man. He was a great warrior, but not necessarily a great man. And then to see them react with the strength, because in Dorne, the line of succession goes through the mother's side.
Right.
Which, in 100% honesty, I've never understood why that isn't the case, right? Like, why it's the father's side that's the line of succession.
Some royal cultures?
Yeah, because no matter what, the only thing you can actually prove is that baby came out of that woman.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, that's where that line, but, you know, I mean, I get it. Like,
yeah,
the whole
it's kind of like with the British,
yeah.
The way the British work is it's like, you know, it goes to whoever's the next in line.
Right.
Because Elizabeth,
yep.
you know, and then now it's what, Charles?
Yeah.
Charles will be the king of his parents.
No, Charles is not. He's now passed over because William got married.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it's Will now.
Anyway, I don't really care about the British royals. But
it's just a figurehead at this point.
It's interesting. I am stoked to see what happens this season. Seeing Sansa finally take Brianna Tarth.
I was gonna say the coolest thing in the episode
great.
For me was the whole thing with what's his name? That was Reek, and now he's
Theon
Greyjoy. Yeah. Theon Greyjoy again.
Yep.
But show him and Brienne and Pod.
Podrick.
Yeah,
Podrick Payne.
all showing up, fighting together, and it was like, okay, there's a powerhouse.
When the Boltons track them down under the tree and everything. And then Ramsay, who they just keep making more vile.
Yeah.
And I guess we should mention spoilers.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anyway, but with Miranda getting, you know, Theon throwing her off the wall at Winterfell there.
Right.
You know. He has this great memory of the first time he met her, and you know he loved her like as much as someone can like him can love anyone,
right?
And he fed her to the dogs.
Yeah, well, you know.
So I, you know, I think his attachment only goes
so far.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see what happens with that, because I have a feeling Lady Walder's daughter, you know, Walder Frey's daughter, is not long for this world as a pregnant
which will
woman.
Bring Walder Frey down on the Boltons.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Roos has a tenuous hold on the North anyway. Right. So, and so this is where part of the, like, where I'm kind of upset about, and we're talking way more about this than I intended to, but in the books, there are Northern families who are still
loyal,
very loyal to the Starks, and there are rumors about Rickon being alive and around.
Right.
And so I'm hopeful we get to see some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'll be more this season, and that more prevalent this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now Sansa's out there, and
yeah, Dark Sansa.
As far as they know, she's the ruling.
She's the heir to Winterfell. Yeah. Since her brothers are all quote unquote dead, when in reality the only Stark child who's dead is Robb.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. Like, it's always been one of the things I've been most interested about.
Was she the second oldest? She is the second oldest. She's the second. So she is the next in line anyway.
It goes Robb, Sansa, Bran, Arya.
Oh, really?
Rickon. Flip-flop Arya and Bran.
Yeah,
sorry.
I thought Arya was older than Bran.
Yeah, so it's Sansa, Arya, Bran, Rickon.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, it's been
good. And I guess
good,
he's
so.
Showing back up in the second episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, so he's at a point now where I hope they diverge the story for him
him
little bit too.
Hodor.
But no, I really hope they diverge him and like kind of give him his legs back and everything, because, you know, I mean, the kid that plays Bran is now like 6'1 or something crazy like that. So you can't really carry him around. But and there's ways with the whole green seers and things like that, where in the mysticism of the North. That,
right.
Like,
I'm sure they'll change it around a bit. You know, from whatever the books are. Like I said, I don't keep up with the books.
You know, as someone, I've read them all a couple times.
Right.
Because, you know, I do enjoy them. But I am really excited to see where the show is going. Like, it's fun to be in complete uncharted territory at this point.
Right, yeah.
It's
what we say they should do on The Walking Dead, but they don't.
Well,
I don't mind,
but
it's
the problem
whole
with The Walking Dead is when they get to the uncharted territory and think they write themselves into a corner.
Yeah,
they pull something directly from the book,
right?
You know, and it's not like they pull something from the book and make a twist or whatever. They're like, okay, well, this isn't working, so we'll just pull this in and we'll appease the fans,
right?
And at the end of the day, Game of Thrones, while it's a TV show and it's a really popular TV show, it's on a network that more than anything else rewards storytelling.
Right.
Because if you look at The Sopranos, it was a great story. You look at The Wire.
Right.
It's a great story. You know, I was listening to the Mark Maron's WTF podcast, and he had David Simon on.
Okay.
From The Wire.
Yeah.
Generation Kill. And,
Homicide.
You know, Homicide.
Yeah.
Yeah, Homicide. Boardwalk. Or Treme. Not Boardwalk.
Yeah.
But, and, like, he had talked about that and how, like, they gave them free reign. And, you know, same thing with Maron on his 700th episode. He had Louis C.K. on talking about how, like, what should be most important is story.
Yeah.
And if you can't tell your story, you're either on the wrong network or you're writing the wrong show. So
it's literally, you know, and this is getting off the subject of Game of Thrones, and we'll segue into something else. When you're doing a story, you know, either based in a comic book, a novel, a TV series, a movie, when the executives start getting involved, that's when there's a problem. Because when the executives start getting involved, that means your story doesn't matter anymore.
Right. It's ratings.
And that's the, like, thing that I think's become an issue on The Walking Dead. And like we've talked about, DC has become an issue in DC.
Yeah, because, it's all about whatever the ratings
are. You have to have editors and that type and producers.
Yeah.
But when your big wigs are coming in and getting involved,
yep,
it's like, you know, Disney's not really touching Star Wars or touching Marvel except for the point of this is what we want.
Yeah.
This is how many movies we want to produce.
Right.
That type of stuff. This is where we're looking at it on the business end. They do let, like, Kathleen Kennedy and Kevin Feige know that
much.
But they're not screwing with anything and being like, hey, could we throw a Mickey Mouse shirt on Captain America there? Or, you know.
How about instead of a star in the middle of his shield, it's mouse ears.
Yeah, exactly.
And instead of calling him Captain America, we'll call him...
Captain Mouse America?
Walt Disney.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Anyway, but, no, all right.
So, that's in the next movie. That's the CG scene. They're going to have Captain America talking to Walt Disney.
That's the quote-unquote unrated version of the Blu-ray that will come out later on. So that information came out with, like, what's on that Blu-ray set.
Oh, for Superman versus Batman.
Over 3-hour runtime. I'm going to be 100% honest. I'm never going to watch that.
Wow, really?
But I'm just not. If anything, I'll borrow it from you when you get it on Black Friday for like a dollar.
Right.
And I'll go to the scenes like that I haven't seen yet and be done with it.
Yeah. Is it unrated? It's unrated?
Well, they say rated R.
Oh.
But like that typically,
but you still it's just can show unrated... Amy Adams in the bathtub. Totally naked.
They won't.
So, you know.
So, sorry, man.
I know she's done enough nudity that it's like it doesn't matter, but you know,
I wanted that, and I want that for you.
It just it's just that scene. You know, it was like one of those ones where I can see her boobs and in the water.
Oh, that water was digitally like made.
And I'm like, okay, you know,
yeah.
All right, whatever.
Okay,
so Apocalypse,
X-Men Apocalypse, which comes out on what is it, May 14th? No. May
21st. It's the end of the month. It's the Memorial Day weekend.
Is it the 28th?
27th.
27th. Okay, yeah.
So 26th, 27th. It'll be Thursday.
Captain America is the 6th and Free Comic Book is the 7th. My bad. Yeah. I had my days mixed up. Anyway, all right. So it's upon us. I'm assuming this is the last
trailer. They said this is the last trailer we're going to get.
And I wasn't going to watch it just because, you know how I am. I like to...
Media blackout.
I do. I go on my media blackouts. Media blackout. We need to make like a sound for that.
Yeah,
media
and blackout. You know the thing about that is you miss cool stuff because of that.
You know, and I do miss cool stuff because of that, but at the same time, I get surprised at the movie. Because,
man, there is something cool in Captain America that they showed.
And I'm going to see it in the movie, and I'm going to have the experience that I had as a kid in the late 80s and early 90s when previews were only seen in movie theaters for the most part.
You had your there was a TV spot where they showed something, and it's like you don't watch normal regular TV, but like there's a TV spot where there's a scene with Spider-Man where it was like
I've seen the picture of him like Bucky punching him because jerk offs use it as their thumbnail on their website so when they post a link. So I did see that,
but the way that scene happens is like, okay, that's cool.
So for me it's out of context. I'm like, oh, they're
but
they're,
I'm looking more forward to seeing Black Panther.
Bucky's like trying to get Spidey to hit the rock, and Spidey's such a nerd, he's just shaking his hand. So
but like anyway. The Apocalypse.
So I've been excited for the last couple trailers for this, because obviously my boy has been getting some love,
Cyclops,
screen time wise. The whole thing with him and Sophie Turner. So it's Ty Sheridan is Cyclops.
Okay.
I believe Tyler Sheridan is his name. And then Sophie Turner as Jean Grey. And she's sitting there like holding like...
This preview actually like made me see more Jean Grey than Sansa Stark. Because the last few have been Sansa Stark. Like,
I mean, it's going to be...
The lip quivering Sansa Stark.
So I feel like if we get Jean where she's like fully powerful, that's a bad thing.
That's the next movie.
I mean, I guess there's rumors already about that. The next one will be Dark Phoenix. I started that rumor
maybe because I said that like when we did the whole talking about the movies coming out this year. I said the Phoenix would probably be the next one.
But, you know.
And if they do it right, that'll be great. But, I mean, man.
You know, the only way I think they can do it right is to not have Bryan Singer do it and bring Matthew Vaughn back.
That's
my opinion.
And I would be cool with, you know, that. Bryan Singer's doing a good enough job that it's not terrible.
No, they're not bad movies.
At least he knows the characters.
So I made it through the Rogue Cut, finally. It took me four tries.
Just because you've been working late and at night. You've been tired.
Anyway, I don't understand why they didn't show that in the theater. Like, that should have been the theatrical version. Iceman's death in that was like way more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Bobby, you know, protecting essentially his first love.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's with Kitty Pryde in the Days of Future Past, going to save her like that was epic. And you know, that was my big takeaway from it.
I'm sorry, I was looking up Cyclops.
It's okay.
The actor.
Yeah.
Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I've seen.
Okay.
It was fun.
And he's in, you've been talking about Ready Player One forever. Yeah. He's in Ready Player One.
Yeah, he's going to play the kid, the main character. So, which you still need to read that book.
Yeah.
So
I need to read a lot of books.
You know what? I'll give you the audiobook and you can just listen to it at your overnights at work.
There you go.
Since you don't listen to our podcast anymore. So
I can't listen.
You have
to
listen to my interview with Jay.
I do have to listen.
It was awesome.
Everybody has to listen to
Jay
that.
And Jay is great.
Right?
You should totally go listen to it. And then go and buy The Mighty Zodiac, Robots, and Teen Titans Go volumes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Wow.
So
is he kicking back money for you? Or?
No, he's not at all.
Okay.
No, but we had an awesome talk about digital comics.
Yeah.
Which gave me a whole new perspective on it.
Okay.
Like, because they actually get royalties from that.
Yeah.
And I buy a lot of digital comics, and I feel even better about doing that now.
Right.
Like, you know, like, we found a bunch of stuff in a dollar bin. He didn't see any of that money. So, you know, I'm all for, like, hey, let me do that. Anyway, all right, so we're talking about X-Men.
We're on a tangent today.
It's
a comic book tangent,
comic
and that's okay.
Tangent, and it's fun. But anyway, so seeing Wolverine's claw.
Do we know it's Wolverine? Because there's the rumor of who's going to be in...
Well,
Old Man Logan,
X-23, is rumored, but it was three claws.
It was three claws, right.
And it was a man's hand.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, he is a crutch.
But here's the thing. We've seen so much of the previews so far.
Right.
Like, he's not the main character.
No,
And they're they're honestly doing what I thought they should have done with Days of Future Past. And putting Jennifer Lawrence front and center.
Yeah.
Because she is a viable box office star.
Right.
Like, of everyone who's in that cast, nobody can make money from movies like she can.
Right, yeah.
Not Hugh Jackman, not James McAvoy, not Michael Fassbender, not Patrick Stewart, not Ian McKellen.
Right.
Not Famke Janssen, not James Marsden. You know, Marsden.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really excited to see that. I don't care that they showed his claw.
Well,
I feel like that's a spoiler. You knew he was going to show up.
You kind of knew it in that preview before they show him.
Yeah.
Because they show Stryker.
Right.
And it's like, oh, where's Wolverine at?
Yeah. And there's the fighting. And
because obviously.
And I did like the little line when she's like, what happened? Oh, we had help. And
yeah.
then you see
and
the
claw.
And
then you see the claws.
Like, that was cool. And as someone who's not a Wolverine fan.
Right.
And who's especially not a fan of Wolverine in the movies. Like, that was cool.
Well, and do you think that because this is in the first-class continuity, which Days of the Future Past is part of that,
correct.
Do you think that Wolverine will have some remembrance of what he, like, experienced from the future version being in him?
I think he will, because he's always said that, like, that was the whole point. Like, you're going to change the world, and you're going to be the only one who knows
it. Right.
So, what I want to see... is I want to see him be, what was he, Pestilence in the...
I think it's one of those four horsemen.
When he was one of the four horsemen?
Yeah, like later on down the road.
Because
Archangel,
see,
obviously, and they're doing it, is
which
one of the
great.
Horsemen.
I want to see him replace Storm as one of the horsemen at one point in the movie and have... Because, first off, she looks badass.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, that whole scene they show of her and Cyclops, like, I'm like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. You know, I like the whole Cyclops being unsure of himself.
Right.
I like Jean Grey being unsure of himself. I actually like Mystique being kind of a good guy.
You know? Honestly, this trailer sold me on this movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of my favorite storylines was the last movie. Days of the Future Past is one of my favorite X-Men storylines. And they did it okay. And I was fine with it.
Right.
After I watched the road cut, I was better with it.
Mm-hmm.
The previews for this were not selling me on it. And this one finally did.
They were just kind of okay before.
Yeah.
And you know, I think
Thing of seeing Apocalypse in the pyramid and turning into Apocalypse.
Right.
And then hearing him talk for the first time, like really talk. And it's like, okay, he sounds cool now. Like whatever they've done to his voice digitally, it's like now he sounds like what the actor who played Apocalypse on the cartoon in the 90s kind of sounded like.
And so I feel like that's an awesome point.
Yeah. Because
I feel like with the character like Apocalypse, with a character like the Joker, with a character like Batman, right?
Yeah.
Even Superman to some extent. We have these iconic vocal performances from when we
were
kids. And the kids that are our kids have been raised on that stuff.
Right.
And to have this idea of who this character is and what this character does and how they should sound is really, really important. And I think you're absolutely right. They're finally starting to kind of nail that. Seeing him.
I think it was just one of those things where because it is in the final process of being done and that, it's like now they can actually show what he sounds like.
See, and that,
and it's the same as the Entertainment Weekly article where they showed him and everybody was like, oh, he looks like the cousin of the guy from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. He doesn't now.
No.
They've actually, like, because the CG is there now.
Right.
And he is bigger than, you know, everybody was like, oh, he's going to be the same size as everybody.
Yeah,
it's like,
gross.
No, he's bigger.
So I'm hoping when they find him, it's like in the both the X-Men and the X-Men Evolution, where he's kind of been weakened and he has to gain power. And as he gets power, he gets bigger and bigger.
Right. And so that's what it kind of looks like. I mean, the way it looks like, you know, he can change his shape.
Yeah. He's a giant. He's like Giant Man.
Yeah.
In Ant-Man. But he just sees no reason to go small.
That's a different movie.
Anyway. I'm excited. I'm legit excited for this now. I'm not as excited for this as I am as for Civil War.
Right.
I am more excited for this than Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And I could not, I would not have been able to see say that before, Monday.
Yeah, before this trailer, I mean, it was one of those things.
Was it Monday or Tuesday that I watched it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just one of those things where I literally told you, you might want to watch that.
And, you know, it's like, meh.
Because I'm like, it was going to be spoiled for you anyways, because that was the major thing was. Well,
and I even looked, I was like, spoiler X-Men character Apocalypse.
And it wasn't? And
it wasn't. Huh. And it's because I don't think it's a spoiler.
I think it was just one of those things where it was like, nobody really knew if Jackman was doing this movie or not.
Because, I mean, First Class was the only X-Men movie that wasn't a Wolverine movie.
Right. Wolverine's in it, but
yeah. I mean, he has that cameo, but that's it. Like, which is fine.
F off.
Yeah. Like, I hope
which was a good way to throw him into it.
And I was fine with that. Yeah. That was the perfect usage for him in this. In this one, I'm interested to see the relationship between him and Jean.
Yeah.
Because she's a kid. She's a little kid, and he's a very old man, you know, so.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. All right. So, sticking with comic books, May 7th is almost upon us. What is today? Today is April the 28th.
We got Thursday. A week.
We got a week and a day. You are listening to this on Friday. Yeah, so you have a week and a day. Find your local comic book store. This is the 14th annual Free Comic Book Day.
Dear God, has it been that?
Yeah. Well, you thought it was the 15th. And remember?
Yeah, I got mixed up. But yeah.
So.
It's just, I've worked at every single one. So.
And I've worked the last
three, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a blast doing it. So we will actually be at Queen City Comics in Pleasant Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I like to call it, QCCPR. Which I'm trying to get that to catch on, but it's not.
That's, no.
So.
QCC. Sad about that.
Right. I know.
Right.
But, well, because it's QCCPR and QCCFF for Fairfield.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Like I thought it was for Fantastic Four.
Fanforestic. Anyway. I can't not call them Fanforestic after
I just
want to
punch you,
thing.
Actually.
All right. So we actually got our hands on a couple of the books, thanks to Jeff.
Yep.
Some of the things we were really looking forward to. We both read them. And what did you, of what we got, what did you think?
I liked what I read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the big ones is IDW is bringing Rom the Space Knight and Micronauts back mm-hmm. to comics.
Yeah, I think Micronauts 1 came out this week, actually.
Yes, it did. It's on your list. I don't know if it's on mine.
Is it on my list?
I thought it was.
No, it's not.
No. Okay, well, I know
it's on. I have never had much interest in Micronauts.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in Rom.
Yeah, Rom looks really cool. I love the art.
Yeah.
I love the design of him. And, you know, I always kind of, like, I know he's been a character that's pretty old, and we've talked about him on the past.
Right.
I always thought he was a GoBot. Like, you know, just sort of thought of him as a GoBot. This version of him looks cool.
Yeah.
Seeing the story and
kind of how this unfolds. It's very similar design to the original design. I mean, it's just modern. I think Hasbro owns.
Yeah. So ROM. So Hasbro is actually doing a shared universe now with ROM, the Micronauts, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Mask.
Right. Which IDW publishes all those Mask.
Except for Mask, which, IDW, I will volunteer to write the Mask comic book. Or co-write or do some kind of like.
Why don't you give me a call first? I got an idea.
I'll sell it.
I've got a really good idea.
But anyway, I love Mask.
Yeah.
So that was a good one.
I've got a more modern idea. IDW, I'm sure you do.
But
come on, give me a call.
I really enjoyed that. I belong to a Facebook group about Mask, and there's some really cool stuff in there.
So I'm laying them out on the table. Sure.
Okay, so the next big one was from Valiant.
What did you enjoy the most?
What did I enjoy? Well, I enjoyed the Dark Horse one just because
it's the Korra. Legend of Korra one.
Yeah.
So that was your number one?
That was my number one.
Okay.
My number two was Civil War II.
Okay.
And I was gonna save that till last because it would segue into what we're talking about next.
Right.
My number three was the superhero girls.
Because
it was a really well-written story for a free book because it's an entire thing.
I'm going to say this. Yeah. I'm not I'm a fan of a few of the female superheroes.
Yeah.
If you have a daughter, get this book for her. Whatever comic book store you're going to, some of them limit it how many books you can get. If you have a daughter who is between the ages of 6... and 12.
No. Between 4.
You think 4?
Because this will get them into reading.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It's this great little I have a daughter. We've talked about her. We talk about her all the time.
Right.
She's awesome and she loves all this
crap. I don't have kids, but I'm just saying
she loved this.
Yeah.
And she asked when is it going to be a comic book? And there's a commercial in the back for the graphic novel.
Right.
She's totally getting that.
Sure.
So they see these toys at Target, they have the clothes at Target,
right?
And now they have this book,
right?
And so, DC, do not mess this up,
right?
You have in the past alienated your female fans. This is a great way to build a generation.
Honestly,
of
even if
fans.
You're an adult, this is a fun book.
It is, but you understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
This is honestly their chance to build an entire generation of girls. We're into comic books.
Yeah, I don't know if this is being done as a cartoon or not, but if it is,
I believe it is. I'm not 100% sure.
It'll be a pretty decent cartoon, I think.
Yeah, the art style is great. The girls that they picked are good. The costumes are great because they don't like over sexualize these little girl characters.
Right.
And
the fun thing is, it's not just there's the girl characters. Some of the male characters
it's
are showed
very
up
reminiscent
in it too.
Of the Teeny Titans.
If you've
watched the Ever After High stuff, if your daughters are into that, it's very much in that vein.
So, Green Lantern is going. Yeah,
Green
to
Lantern
school.
Looks awesome. He's like
a cyborg.
Thing. Yeah,
Wildcat is one of the teachers.
He's the gym teacher, which is funny.
Who else? Flash.
Yep.
Animal Man, Animal Boy.
Yeah.
Beast Boy. Blue Beetle. There's male characters. Hawk.
Yeah.
From Hawk and Dove. Gorilla Grodd is one of the teachers.
I think he's the assistant principal.
Is that what he
is?
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Okay. And Principal Waller. So Amanda Waller is the principal.
Like I said, it's this great little thing if you have a daughter. Even if, little boys will probably like this too. But
yeah,
like,
I think,
if you have
you know,
a daughter, this is something that they can identify with.
I do hope even though it is called DC Superhero Girls, I do hope that they use some of the male characters.
Sure. You and why wouldn't they?
Yeah,
you
know? It would totally make sense. It's kind of like what is the one online comic that I can't remember his name does? The JLA Junior stuff?
JLA.
Yeah, JLA. Like, with, you know.
Dale Stewart.
It's like, hopefully we see some crushing and all that type of stuff. That way you get the boys in play, too.
You can deal with, like, your first crush and like that kind of stuff.
It's fun.
So, no, I like that. So, the Valiant book was really cool.
Yeah, just it's a cool setup. Of
what it's kicking off.
Right.
The 4001 AD.
Or, as I said, Ryan the Future Force.
Yeah.
Which was the original. I mean, the thing where, in the original Valiant universe, at one point... A Rai had to form a team to fight, an alien robot, and it was called Rai and the Future Force.
Cool.
And it feels like, and it seems like this is going to go along that way because there's how many books listed as part of it?
Six or seven.
Yeah,
is it that many?
Exo Man of War, Bloodshot, Shadow Man, and then the regular Rai book, and then the 4001.
Yeah, I keep wanting to call it 4001.
Yeah,
but
well, that works too. Yeah.
But
and the coolest one is like in August they have it listed as 41 AD classified, so they haven't said what's happening.
So
I'm hoping that they can get the characters from Dynamite, but they're all crossed over now.
Oh,
too.
The
Magnus and Turok and like Solar.
Yeah.
But they're in a crossover right now, too, so I don't know if they have a free comic book day.
So then Dark Horse has this all-ages book. It's got a fun Plants vs. Zombie story at the end.
Yeah.
In the middle, there is a really fun Dragons, How to Train Your Dragon story, which I kind of hope they start doing some How to Train Your Dragon comics in the vein of how they do the Avatar comics. With
the books,
like the quarterly books,
three books,
or whatever, three times a year.
The Trinity.
I'll say this: the Korra story is called Friends for Life, and it's from Michael DiMartino, artist by Heather Campbell.
Isn't DiMartino one of the?
Yeah, he is one of the co-creators of everything. So he's the Mike and Brike. But you see Korra training with Katara, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then what's more importantly is they should have called this, the how Naga saved Korra, or, getting to be best friends.
Yeah, it was a cool origin story.
It was something that, like, honestly, in all the time I watched Korra, I just assumed she was given Naga.
Like, it was a gift?
Like, kind of like...
Or she? Is it a she?
Naga is a girl,
I believe.
Yeah, okay. So, but given... like the way Aang was given Appa type of thing. And like, her parents gave her, Naga. I just loved it. And I'm so fond of that show and that entire universe. And I really am hopeful they do a Korra comic book at some point.
I'm sure that that's coming down the line. I mean,
I really hope so.
You know, what is Naga? I forget what they said.
That... Polar bear dog.
Polar bear dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that. I like their, in that universe, the whole bending of animals to different species.
Yeah. Well, it was like in Avatar with when Bosco the bear, the Earth King, had a bear.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's just a bear? What's so special about it? He's just a bear.
Yeah, he's just a bear.
That's what made him special. All right. And then one of the other things, which was actually interesting and creepy and... weird all at the same time.
It's Grant Morrison, so you just named like every...
So it was Avatrex or Avatrex.
And this is one where, like, obviously Avatar these Rex, are the books you want it to get for yourself,
right?
And I told you, I said when you get these, I said get Avatar X.
Well, and I had it on my I had it on my list as the Grant Morrison book, and I didn't really realize that's what it was.
Definitely just a giant setup issue.
It is, and it felt like very kind of Jack Kirby-ish with what he's trying to do. And there's a...
Grant's a fan of Jack. I mean, Final Crisis shows that he's a fan of Jack. So,
who's the artist on this? I forget. Art by Jevan, J-E-E-V-A-N, Jevan. I don't know. I'm gonna call him Jevan.
Jevan Kang is what I would say. Jevan J. Kang.
It's beautiful. It is, and it's one of those things where I've become so accustomed to.
Well, and it's guys a new. Like, I think this is a new company, Graphic India.
Okay,
so it's obviously coming out of India. A lot of the founders.
Yeah. Well, when you, so when you read it, it's very much a Grant Morrison story. And you can tell that by reading it. And over the years, I've become so accustomed to either like John Cassidy or Frank Quitely or, you know, other...
Oh, with Grant's
like,
art.
Just kind of like a certain small group of artists who work with him.
Right.
You know, the, some of the Jim Lee things and that kind of stuff. That it's refreshing. To see a different style.
In the center of the book, there's a thumbnail section. It's all Javon's art. And the first picture, when they just have the picture of Avatar X.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's cool.
When is that action figure coming out? Because I would like it.
Right. It literally looks like, you know, I mean, it kind of looks like a character that would be from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
With Iron Man mixed in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, literally it looks like Iron Man's chest piece and that.
Like, I was even thinking Thundercats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, but yeah. All right.
But, I mean, yeah, it's a...
What did you think of the story?
I want to read it, actually.
I definitely want to see more.
I mean, I'm very picky on what I read from Grant and that, but this one was one where I'm like, okay, this is a cool setup for something.
Yeah. I mean, and I've said before, Grant is hit or miss.
Yeah, yeah. But this thing was actually interesting. Avatar X, Destroyer of Darkness.
Ooh.
And see, they even put it at the top there, celebrating 15 years.
Oh, well, maybe we're
I'm wrong. Confused.
Well, because none of the other ones
none of the other ones have it, so. But...
Maybe this was supposed to come out next year.
Next year. Like, oh, my God.
The future.
Grant Morrison stretched the universe to the point that he's got books coming out a year before they're supposed to come out.
And then we have the Marvel books.
Yeah.
So the only DC book was the Superhero Girls.
Okay.
That
because of Rebirth. I mean, you know.
So the first one is Captain America, Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Yeah.
Because thankfully they're not doing away with the Sam Wilson Captain America, because I'm really digging that book. It's fun, especially because he's broke and trying to be a superhero. So this is a repowered,
Cap. Yeah. It was interesting to read.
I think a lot of this is coming out of the standoff storyline.
Yeah, which I picked up the alpha, but I haven't read it yet.
And I haven't had a chance to read any of it yet. So
this is just cool because of the fact that you get a little bit of Cap, and then a little bit of Cap Falcon.
Yeah. And you get a little bit of Cap
Falcon. I mean, the new Falcon, which I'm like, okay, I'm curious to know who this dude is.
That's in the Sam Wilson Cap book, and it's really cool what happens there.
Yeah, I think with the Cap Falcon book, I just call him Cap Falcon because it's easier, is one of those ones where I'll pick it up in a trade. Yeah. I like that Sharon Carter is in charge now.
Oh, yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
I like that. There's a villain that shows up at the end that I was like, oh, I thought he was dead again, but he's not, obviously.
It looks like it's good. It looks like it's gonna
plus there's a Spider-Man story in it.
Yeah, there's a tiny little Spider-Man story at the end,
right?
So definitely one. If there's a limit, if you can get three, this might be the third book you get.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you know, I would check out the DC Superhero Girls book, the Valiant book, for sure. You know, if you got kids, The Legend of Korra and the DC Superhero Girls are my kid recommend books. If you want to just read something new, check out the Avatar X and the Valiant. I mean, you know, Valiant's been around for a few years again now, but, you know, if you want to reminisce to the old days, pick up the ROM. Yep. It's fun, and there's no appearances by Marvel characters because it's not in the Marvel universe
now. Right, right.
So Cap is just fun because it is Cap.
Right.
You know, and the movie's coming out, so obviously you have to do a movie tie-in book.
Yeah, it's time for him to be repowered. Okay, so before we get to that one, like, I read the Tick book.
Right.
It's all new stories. They're fun. It's very Tick-like. You'll enjoy it. If you're a Tick fan, it's very, very well done, so... all right.
Yeah,
so
I didn't read that one. And then the last one is Civil War II.
So it's the Civil War II, and this
prelude,
is kind of a...
Prelude, I guess you would call
it. Yeah, I was going to say it's a prelude. Did you know that Rhodey and Captain Marvel were dating? Is that, like, new?
I guess.
Is that for Civil War II?
Maybe. So I don't know if that's been going on for a little while or not.
But... Again, I don't want to spoil anything about this because there's some really cool stuff that happens right at the end of their story. And then there's a great backup story for a Wasp character, which looks to be Janet Van Dyne.
She's coming. She's going to be... Well, they've said that she's going to be in All New Avengers a while back. And now she finally is.
She looks great. And that backup story was fun. The costume looks very cool and like space agey.
It's a little bit of the old and a little bit new.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the Civil War II story though, you get to see Thanos.
Yeah, I don't know what that.
That's what Civil War II is about. I guess is.
I'm more thinking it's about them having all those weapons on Earth.
Yeah,
like literally every. The cosmic cube and every other weapon's sitting in a vault somewhere on Earth.
I think it's in the Triskelion, to be honest. But yeah, the whole should we have these here? You know,
right?
Like some of these things could destroy the planet. Are they safe out in the galaxy? Some of these things can destroy the planet. We have to protect them, and I think that's going to be the two sides, especially because like Captain Marvel or you know Sue. Is Sue? No, what's her name? Carol.
Carol Danvers.
Brain fart, yeah. I wanted to call her Sue Danvers for some reason.
Sue Storm.
But yeah, whatever. But no, Carol is very much like the bridge between kind of...
Well, and the thing is the Inhumans will be in play.
Yep.
Because obviously, you know, they're in play now, but there's an Inhuman that can see into the future.
Right.
And I think he's going to have a pretty major role in this. So, you know... It should be interesting.
Yeah, it's...
Like you said, no spoilers on this. There's some awesome artwork in here. I think, what is it, Jim Chung?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a page in here where it just shows Thanos showing up, and, like, he's armed to the teeth, and I'm like, okay, can we get that as a poster?
Or a figure?
yeah, definitely. Like, he's carrying a lot of big guns on him.
How cool would that be as a pop? With Thanos holding all those guns,
and,
like, the guns hanging out from him and everything, and like one of the big pops.
Oh yeah, definitely. So. I mean, it's a different artist doing the regular story, but they got Jim Chung to do this. Just like the backup with Wasp is Alan Davis and Mark Farmer,
right?
And at which they do beautiful stuff, and you know they're not doing the regular book, but it. Both of them look really good. Yeah. They read really good. They flowed pretty well.
I'll be honest, like it's probably what, like 10 pages?
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's 10 pages.
Maybe 12. I flew through that.
Yeah, this like, one was an easy read.
It was really easy to read.
Excuse me.
Whereas like Rom, it took a while. Like I actually put it
down. Yeah, Rom was easy for me too, but I know the character a little better than
and
you
like
do.
The Grant Morrison book. I read a couple pages here and there.
Yeah.
And I actually finished it like right before you came over because you gave me a deadline to read them.
Because I had to read them.
Well, yeah. Well, and if you wouldn't have, I'd have been like, oh, I'll get to them. And then, you know, we would have been setting up the show and be like, hold on, let me read these real quick.
Yeah. I think the day that I picked them up from you, because I had what, Sunday through today, Thursday.
Right.
And I think the day that I picked them up from you, I read. The Valiant, the Korra, and the DC Superhero Girls, like, in 20 minutes. And then, like, that night, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll go ahead and read the rest. And I read Rom and Avatar X, and I was like, okay. And then I read Cap, and I'm like, this is cool. And the Civil War, I'm like, okay, I might have to pick this story up now.
Yep.
Thanks, Marvel.
Way to go, Marvel. All right, so, speaking of Civil War... a few years ago, there was a Civil War comic.
Right.
When I say a few years ago, it's 2009, 7 years. I did not read it at the time. I bought it a couple years ago on Comixology when it was like 99-cent issues or whatever.
I think at the time I was actually working more at Queen City. So I was reading it as it was coming out and that, and, you know. It was one of those books where you definitely wanted to check it out and read it because it was supposed to be earth-shattering changes.
Right. It kind of was, and then it wasn't.
Right.
You know, I'll say this. The way this story kicks off with the New Warriors
yeah,
was interesting. And at the same time, it's like, I so wish they could do this for the movie, but they haven't really established anyone else.
Like other characters.
Yeah, they haven't established, you know, the fringe superheroes, nor do I necessarily think they should for the movie universe.
I think, like, you know, can I talk about what I think comparison-wise without ruining for you?
Yes.
I think that what happens with the new warriors attacking the four villains that escaped the raft... Was it the raft?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was the raft.
Yeah, so, like, they're doing it because of ratings for a TV series, a reality show that they're doing, which, you know, obviously we at still have time, reality but shows.
At the time, it was much bigger than it is now because Netflix but, has
In the movie, I just think it's the Avengers stopping a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And it causes something as bad as the explosion that kills... these kids and all that.
Well, it's called the Sokovia Accords in the movie.
Right.
And this was the Superhero Registration Act.
Right.
In the book. And Bucky obviously has something to do with it.
When I think with the whole thing is because the Registration Act thing mm-hmm. has been used in the X-Men movies.
Right,
that they
right.
can't use that. So using the Sokovia Accords, which I would have just called it the Chitauri Accords. And, you know. But, The whole thing is like there's a scene that was shown on MTV for the movie awards and that, and there's bits and pieces in the preview where you see a building exploding.
Sure.
And I think that is what this is going to be. What starts this off, and you know Bucky's obviously going to be blamed for it, but right,
somehow involved.
Right. But the Avengers are going to be part of the blame too.
Well, and I mean we've seen that where you know the Thunderbolt Ross is right. you know. Showing all the grim and horrors and, you know, Cap's like enough, you know, because Scarlet Witch is starting to
Right, because Sokovia down. Was her home and, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, you know, losing her brother and all that still has affected her. Because this is supposed to be, like, in the time zone, the way they're explaining it is, that this is a year after Age of Ultron and all that. So Ant-Man obviously falls in there. Because he's in the movie, but his movie falls in there as just happening a few months after Age of Ultron.
Right.
And then this is supposed to be about a year after Age of Ultron.
Yeah, because, I mean, in Ant-Man, they mention, like, Michael Douglas has the dialogue, you know, oh, you know, you'll drop another city or whatever. Yeah. So.
Well, and then they do the whole thing where Ant-Man fights Falcon. And yeah. it's like, you know, obviously.
And they're in the Stark.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. There's a scene in the comic after the fact because a whole bunch of kids get killed.
Yeah.
And one of the moms walks up to Tony Stark and spits in his face.
Right.
I hope that a scene like that something makes like that. It into the movie because at that point, like this Tony Stark at this point in the comics he's not a drunk at this point anymore, but yeah. he's also not... the philanthropist that Robert Downey Jr.'s version is.
Right.
And so to see something like that happen to the movie version of Iron Man, I think would shake him to the core, and that's what will get him to support the Accords.
Right.
Because then it's a wake-up call of, you know, oh, wait, like maybe we're not infallible, and I'm not infallible.
Right.
So
they overstep their bounds at times.
Right.
And I, you know, in the book, it's like Cap can't agree with that because it's kind of the whole thing where it's like you're just doing what the Nazis did.
Well, it was the whole all the World War II connotations and then having, you know, I mean, this is almost every hero who was alive at the time.
Right.
Is involved with this. And you know, at one point, it'll be interesting. Like, I think we'll see Stephen Strange at the end of. This movie,
yeah,
in the bumper because in the story, the Watcher and Doctor Strange have a great interaction,
yeah,
where he says, you know, I can't interfere because, you know, I'm the Sorcerer Supreme, and,
right.
and they have to figure this out for themselves, and you know, they kind of commiserate in the fact that while they know they can help and stop a lot of things. They have to let it unfold.
Right. Like, are you hoping for like a bumper?
Yeah.
At the end where he's like, you know, somebody comes to him and goes, well, why didn't you? Because like, obviously somebody's going to die.
I tell you the scene I want to see is I want to see him in the Sanctorum.
Yeah.
Sitting cross-legged with the, you know, the fingers.
Yeah.
Floating. You know, with the cape around right. and everything. And the Eye of Agamotto lights up. And then I forget his assistant's name.
Wong?
Wong.
Yeah.
And Wong is like, it's finished.
Yeah.
And then Benedict Cumberbatch opens his eyes. That would be the perfect, like, end credit scene to kick
or
off.
Nick Fury and Stephen Strange having an interaction would be cool.
That would be cool, too. But
because I don't think Nick is in the movie.
No. I don't know. So,
and again, it's like, I you know, it would be cool to see, February. You know, Nick Fury go, well, why didn't you help them out if you had right. the power yeah. to do it?
So.
And he would be like, well, I'm the Sorcerer Supreme. I don't.
It's not my job.
It's not then my.
I had to watch it unfold. Like, because Doctor Strange is the kickoff to the next phase.
Oh, right, yeah.
And in bringing magic where I'm not the biggest fan of magic just because I feel like there's a whole lot of crutches that come along right. with it. I am excited to see this character in the universe. And I think introducing him in even just a little way would be great.
Are you hoping for Iron Spider?
I don't care. To okay. be 100% is honest.
That, in all honesty, is that one of the things that you didn't care about in this storyline?
I did
line?
Not care about it in the storyline. Did you?
Now, this is the one where I didn't care. Peter Parker reveals that he's Peter Parker.
He can't do that in this one.
Who cares?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that it contradicts itself in a way because at the beginning he's like, yeah, I'm not going to reveal myself because, you know, I don't want to come home to a dead wife with an octopus arm through her.
Right.
Or, you know,
right.
my aunt begging for her life on the middle of a street on TV
with the
type
vulture,
thing.
Yeah,
and yeah, so. It's like, you know, and then he decides, oh, I'll reveal myself.
Right. It was
some of the
it
things
was literally to sell comics.
Were cool was the gulag.
The gulag
in
cool.
The negative zone.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the fight scenes were pretty awesome. On their own, and at some of the characters that were more out there in this than they normally are, like Hercules was mm-hmm. a major, like,
oh, yeah,
you know, he was ready Goliath? To kick everybody's ass.
I mean, Goliath was awesome in this,
yeah,
and then the whole Ragnarok thing that happened with
oh, Goliath, yeah, yeah, the like, the robot,
you know,
robot Thor showing up,
like half clone, half robot, Thor.
Yeah,
Cloak and Dagger were great in this,
Punisher.
Well, and so that's like I was getting to that, so the Punisher. Has a fantastic arc.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants anything to do with the Punisher.
Right.
And Cap is respecting him as a veteran. And then the Punisher does something so heinous that Cap starts beating the crap out of the Punisher. And the Punisher sits there and takes it and he goes, I'm never going to fight you.
Yeah.
And for me, that was one of the coolest moments of the entire Civil War. But yeah, I don't care about the Iron Spider. I they're not going to have Peter Parker reveal his identity.
I mean, the whole thing like that. In this book is just the interaction of characters.
I'm curious is like I haven't seen anything about Michael Douglas being involved in this at all.
But yeah,
like, having like a Hank Pym moment would be interesting, especially because of what happened with Hank Pym, in the actual comic story,
right. Which, yeah, I think the Hank Pym showing up in that, in it, you know, Avengers Academy being
yeah.
more
yeah.
of what it should have, you know, what they showed at the end of Age of Ultron.
Right.
Being more of that. Because, obviously, they weren't just bringing in anybody to be part of Avengers Academy.
Right.
And that all those kids that were running around the facility, it's like, do they have superpowers?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think this will be less of a superhero versus superhero as it'll be in the vein of Winter Soldier, a political thriller.
Right.
But yeah, it's...
Yeah, this book was major, like, just superhero fights.
I mean, this was Carnage. Like,
yeah.
Not like Carnage as in, you know, Cassidy, what's his name, but...
Cletus Cassidy?
Cletus Cassidy, thank you. This was Carnage in a scale of... The majority of the panels for Cap's team, their costumes are in tatters.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are not on the winning end and you know.
Well, and just the division of families, like the whole thing with Reed and Sue.
Well, and Sue leaving. Like,
yeah.
That was a heartbreaking moment. And, you know, having her write that letter to him and say, you're never going to understand why this is going to happen. But, you know, it was and it was a major part of a book.
Right.
Of, I think it was what, like 5 or 6. But then they also had, they introduced the new Thunderbolts in this.
All the villains.
With all the villains. With Taskmaster and Lady Deathstrike and Bullseye and Venom. Or it wasn't Venom.
That's Venom.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. It was Venom. My bad. But yeah, it was great.
Plus, they brought in some of the original Thunderbolts in that group and everything else. But yeah, I do.
One thing I do want to see is I want to see Spider-Man wake up and understand that Tony Stark is not right.
Right.
And I want, like, because that little fight that they have in the comic
where
he's the Iron Spider and when he goes back to, you know, being Spider-Man.
Right.
Because, you know, you have, he's in the Iron Spider costume. He's being tracked down by the Thunderbolts. You have, you know, Jack-O-Lantern and Hobgoblin and, you know, these guys who are his villains who never get one up on him actually, you know, put him down. And that's kind of when the Punisher enters. And I don't know if they had announced John Barenthal or they when the how the filming worked
out. It would be kind of cool if they
it would be amazing for John Barenthal.
Well, even like the whole thing where they arrest Daredevil and they take him to the gulag.
Yeah.
And then he does the 30 pieces of silver thing to Tony. Which was great,
yeah.
It's like if it'd be cool if like they drop that in there and actually have Daredevil getting arrested at some point.
So I mean,
saying that,
like, I don't know how they'll do like Gate 42 or if, like, I don't think anything I like
Gate
42
is going to be in there, but I could see, like, you know, with the street level characters that are showing up, it's not like the Avengers don't know that Daredevil's around,
right?
They know that Jessica Jones exists,
yeah,
and I mean, people with any kind of power level are going to know it exists, and it would be cool if Marvel slips them in there on us without us knowing about it.
So I feel like
here's the thing.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
You know, and talking about the book, talking about the movie, the Russo brothers are slick enough that they pulled the rug out from under us with Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I want them to do it again. However, you know, I'm hoping the Red Skull shows up.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
Yeah.
And
even if it's a different actor. If Hugo
it's
Weaving,
not going to be Hugo Weaving, and it doesn't have to be Hugo Weaving.
Right. You know? It's a dude with a Red Skull head. I mean, you know, at this point, you can get Christopher Walken to do it, and it'd be...
He's a little slow, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it doesn't matter who plays him.
But I just want the Red Skull to show up. I mean, the Red Skull was transported somewhere by the Cube, and...
The Tesseract sent him somewhere.
Right.
So.
And it would be a perfect setup for Infinity War that... You know, the Skull's been out in the universe and seen what's happened and setting it up for Thanos to show up on Earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Thanos manipulated Loki or Loki manipulated Thanos,
right.
However you
want
to look at it.
One way or the other. So, another thing about the comic that leads into all this as well.
Yeah.
Is Spidey and Luke Cage have a couple really great moments.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So bringing Luke Cage into this would be an interesting way, especially before his series even kicks off.
Well, and the thing is like in the book... Peter is an adult, but in the movie, Peter's going to be a teenager. You know, we don't have Hercules saving Cap from Iron Man at one point. You know, we don't have, I mean, you know, all that
Hank
stuff.
Hank Pym's not Yellow Jacket.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, you don't have X-Men.
We don't have Fantastic Four. We don't have Namor. So.
Right, yeah. You don't have those characters showing up. So
no,
it's
no,
like.
No Bishop, which, you know.
Right, no Cable.
Yeah. So, anyway. No, I thought the comic was really good. I thought it did a really good... It used the universe really well.
Beautiful artwork, too.
Yeah, I mean, just all the way throughout.
Which Steve McNiven is going to be at Cincinnati Comic Expo this year.
I'm aware.
So for anybody in this area, it's like, you know, that'll be a pretty awesome person to meet, I'm sure. I hope that he has prints of some of the pages, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So... well, cool. All right. So, you know, there's lots of cool stuff happening. Like, you know, this is just kind of a great time to be a nerd.
Yeah.
You know, we have Game of Thrones back. It started off really strong. You know, free comic book day is coming up, so get out, support your local shops. Don't just go and get free comics and leave. Like, try
buy something.
Well, and it's not even just buy something. Like, look around and find something that interests you.
Right.
And ask the people or there.
Buy something for somebody else.
And if you're
buy a gift card, even.
Yeah. If you're in Cincinnati, come visit us at Queen City Comics. And if you have questions about any comic books, we are there to help you get into this stuff. Because,
same with the people who are listening to the show. If you got questions or comments,
contact at infamouspodcast.com and let us know. We are happy to, give recommendations and answer questions. But yeah, so
trust me, I'm going through books right now and I'm just like, you know, the count just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Bigger and bigger.
So, yeah.
I mean, I have piles of comics all over.
Well, you know, I use the comic book database, which is a website that, you know, people who collect comics know this. But, you know, just going through my books and adding stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow.
I like getting the updates on the numbers.
Yeah.
For your
This week I grabbed a box because I know there's stuff I haven't put in there. And just pulled stuff out where I'm like, I don't remember getting the original Secret Wars number one.
Yeah.
And I have it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
It's really weird.
And it's in mint condition and it's a 9.8. And you can have it for
$25. Well, you can have it for $25, but I don't think it's a 9.8.
No, I'm kidding. All right. So that being said, wow, we're kind of short this week.
That's okay.
Should we fill time?
What are we going to fill time with?
Nothing. Anyway. All right, guys. This has been episode 41 of the Infamous Podcast. Free Comic Book Day or Free Comic Book Wars or How Game of Thrones Melted My Eyes. Definitely check out Game of Thrones this season. Definitely check out Free Comic Book Day.
Definitely go on iTunes and give us some five
stars. Well, I was going to say, before that, on Free Comic Book Day, you can go pick up the Civil War trade at your local shop.
Yeah, let us know like what you are thinking about getting. You know,
it's also $4.99 on Comixology.
Right is it?
Just FYI.
Okay.
So,
there's if you go on freecomicbookday.com, you can see the books that are on there. You can find out where your local store is.
One thing to keep in mind is all the books that are on that list don't necessarily mean your store got all of those books. So,
please, if you're like a lot of people that I know, that, you know, obviously I work, I've worked every Free Comic Book Day, but a lot of people I know hit every store in the city. And I say do that because it's fun. It sounds fun.
It's so much fun. And you get to, because I have done, I've had the days where I've hit three or four.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun because you get to go and you get to see other people in other stores that maybe isn't your normal store. Or like, you know, we have a couple here, like Comics to Games. We hit up like once every, you know, 10 months. You know, we have a local one, Nostalgia, which, you know, we hit up, you know, once every couple months.
We've been there pretty often. Yeah.
But like, it's not a regular store. So it's fun to go check that out. You know, unfortunately, one of the stores locally that we really enjoyed closed, but, you know, good luck to him with the cool opportunity that he got. But yeah, so definitely check all that out. And then, as Johnny was saying, as I so rudely interrupted.
What, five stars on iTunes?
Yeah, subscribe. More than anything, subscribe.
Subscribe and review and, you know, tell us what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong.
Yeah. And
not that I ever do anything wrong.
Never, ever does he do anything wrong. But yeah, and like he was saying, you can reach us at infamouspodcast.com.
Yep.
We're contact at infamouspodcast.com now for the email.
You lost me.
it's so much easier than saying the infamouspodcast at Gmail.
Right.
So just go to the contact us page. Everything's there.
You're saying our email is infamouspodcast.
It's now at infamouspodcast.com. Okay. So it's contact.
Our just contact like information's on there.
Yours is Johnny at Infamous Podcast and mine is Brian at Infamous Podcast. But yeah, so all that information's there. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. I promise I will start posting more. So this was a hell week. I think Johnny can look at me right now and see how like run down I actually am, which is not often anymore. But yeah, and we will we'll be back next week to talk about something, I'm sure. We will have a review of Captain America: Civil War as a bonus episode.
That'll be in a couple That'll be
a week from Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to say. That'll be in a couple weeks. Go and listen to Jay Torres.
Go listen to Jay Torres. And then go follow him. Jay Torres Comics on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
He's great. He was worried he feels a little old because we talked about AOL in the old dial-up tones. But, you know, give him some love. And then we have a
check out his books
Star Trek review for Insurrection coming out on Tuesday. Tuesday's still April, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway.
Oh, we're getting into technicalities?
No. Like, I want
it. Post it now because, no, Tuesday is not April.
Okay. So it will come out on Saturday. So that is still in April. So we can stick to our once a month theme.
It would be okay if you post it on Tuesday.
But yeah, I will wait. I'll wait till Tuesday.
Just post it now. Yeah, just post it in April. That way it's in April.
Yeah.
That way you don't have a meltdown.
I'll forget.
You're more concerned about it than I am. As long as it's within the period of time that we were saying.
As long as we record it in April.
I think that's fine.
So, anyway. All right. So, on that note, thank you for listening. We'll be back a couple times over the next few weeks. We've got some
interviews coming up.
We do have some cool interview opportunities coming up.
Maybe Brian will record some of the live stuff at Free Comic Book Day because I'll be too damn busy to talk.
I'm going to be just as busy. So,
well, no, you'll be able to talk to customers.
I will. I might bring the mic and the iPad and record.
Yeah,
some
so
stuff.
We might have a little.
That's okay.
Free Comic Book Day show.
But yeah.
And that where it's actually just getting to talk to people.
On Tuesday night, we are talking to Christian Colbert,
yeah,
who's been on the show before, and it was an okay interview. He has a really cool book called Lantern Falls coming out, and we're going to promote that, so that'll be exciting.
And just chit-chat.
And we're going to talk comics, because he's awesome. Anyway, all right, guys, that's been the show. See you soon.
Was that enough filler?
No, we still have 9 minutes to go before we get to the
end. We can stop.
Because last week we ended like perfectly.
What, 1 hour and 20 minutes? We've done that for a couple weeks in a row.
Yeah, we were almost like right on.
We appreciate you listening. Everybody have a good one.
All right, later.